2 Samuel, verse 1, it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. Isn't that a blessing? I would say that is the greatest treasure we can have is peace. And if you've ever been in a season of chaos or been around somebody that thrives on chaos, then your peace is probably that much more precious to you. But to be able to have peace round about. The king said to Nathan the prophet, verse 2, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." What do you think about that verse, that statement there? The Lord is with him? Okay, was that the case? Yeah, the Lord is with him. Lord's blessed them. I mean, God is on you. You have the anointing of God. If it's your idea, it must be a good idea, right? That was where Nathan was coming from. I mean, you have my blessing. Well, and just anticipating that, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It sounds good. That's a great idea, right? It has the right intentions. And who is this? This is the preacher saying, yeah, boy, it'd be fine. But he's wrong, wasn't he? And the good news is that God corrected him. You know, that Nathan was close enough with the Lord that he was able to, that the Lord was able to show him the error and show him how to correct it. That night, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, "Go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in?" Just the whole idea for me to dwell in. "Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle, in all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel. Spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build you not me a house of cedar?" Like, has this ever been me, my idea? Is there anything else in those two verses that you caught on? Right? And pretty much for a lot of people, that's what's happened, hasn't it? We identify this building as a house of worship, a house of prayer, a house of God. And when people come to church, they say, oh, I can feel God's presence in this place. Right? We have songs about feeling God's presence in this place. But the presence of God, it's great to be able to sense the presence of God in the house of God. It's important. But if we lose that presence and that sense of his, you know, walking with us when we go out the door, that means something's wrong, right? Because Jesus said, I'm with you always. I mean, he's, you know, his presence should be on our mind, in our heart all the time. We should know he's there. He said, this is to me what was significant. He said, I walked with you. I was there. I walked with you. We know the presence, you know, the leadership of the Hebrews as they left Egypt to go to the promised land, the pillar of fire, the cloud, the pillar of smoke, that essence of God leading them along the way. But he says, I was there. I was walking with you. And we need to know that. We need to know that his presence should not depart from us when we walk out. What does Ichabod mean? Remember that? The presence of God has departed. God is not with us anymore. And so we need to always know that presence and have that close communion and fellowship. But he says, this didn't come from me. This house of cedar did not come from me. Verse 8, "Now therefore so shalt thou say to my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep coat, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And remember, I always highlight that when his brothers scorned him in the Valley of Elah, when ultimately he killed Goliath, is that they say, what are you doing here? After, you should be out there following those few sheep you have, you know, just a few. You're not responsible. Nobody counts on you. Nobody believes you could do much. But here the Lord says, I took you from following the sheep. Again, not leading them, but following them. Is it a measure by God to humble David, to remind him that God is in charge? Verse 9, I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. I have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. And think about that. Think about how far David has come. This simple life, you know, following the sheep, taking care of his family's flocks, to now being the king of Israel. You know, what a stretch. What a promotion. God has done great things with David, and he's reminded here. Verse 10, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. I will plant them. Again, planting is intentional. That they may dwell in a place of their own. Doesn't belong to the Palestinians or the Philistines. It's their own place. And move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people, Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. God says, I'm going to make you a house. You can never outgive God. The greatest ideas that we have to be a blessing to God, God is going to multiply that. He will make thee a house. Verse 12, and when the days be fulfilled, when thy days be fulfilled, what does that mean? When his life is over, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I'll be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. So of all the great things we could have in our lives, what two things has he mentioned in this chapter so far that no other treasure could compare with? His presence. Peace. His blessing of his child. The blessing of his children. Now, if we really want to be a blessing to someone, we should bless their children. That really, you know, and the same thing when we talk about God, you know, if we really want to please God, then we need to please Jesus. What's that? It is, isn't it? It's a big task. But we've got to be a blessing to his children. And so if I want to be a blessing to God, can I give God gifts? How do I give God gifts? By giving his children gifts, by being a blessing to his children. You know, his children, we think about Jesus, yes, but his children, all of the saved, all those who put their faith in him. So we can be a blessing to others. And that's how we bless God. So God says, I will bless your son, and he will build a house, and I will establish his kingdom forever. Verse 14, I'll be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Well, but I thought when we were saved and we were forgiven that we didn't have a penalty for sin. Yeah, so that means you just go rob a bank? No. You're going to be chastened, right? I mean, you can mistreat people and abuse people? No, you'll be chastened. There'll be, you know, we are going to answer for our misdeeds and our sins here. Right? It's part of this. But we won't go to hell because of them. Look at the next verse. He said, my mercy shall not depart away from him. So God's mercy is real, and it's true, and it's eternal. But if we continue to sin, we're going to continue to have the consequences of sin. Yeah, and that's the case. He had to pay for his sin. And not only that, his children saw his example, and they paid for his sin, for their sins. Have you ever, I'm trying to think of a good example of this. But taking, I'm thinking of a pendulum, but you push a swing, and what happens when that, you know, child or whatever swings up, and then what happens? Comes back. And that's what happens with sin. We may throw it away, but it's going to come back and get us. We've got to make sure that we don't, if we want to not have the consequence of sin, then don't sin. That's the only way out. But my mercy shall not depart from away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. Before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And David went. Then went in King David and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? That humility. When you see, again, you see the what God's going to do with your life and through you for the lives of those around you, and then through for your children because of you. And David just goes before God. He says, I don't deserve it. Who am I? Who am I? Verse 19, yet this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. Thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? What can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. And that's so real and transparent. To say that we don't deserve it, to say I'm a nobody. But, and you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever tried to plead your case before God? Like, tell God, well, you know, come on. If you consider this and you think about that, then what I want to do or what I've done or, you know, try to work it out with God, negotiate, compromise. David says, you know who I am. There's no argument. Well, and it's significant what you said. David had a front row seat to that. It always alarms me when I see someone who was raised by an alcoholic take a drink. Like, you know better. You know what this stuff will do. You know the possibilities. We watch our parents and we see their patterns, but we've got to learn from their mistakes and, you know, break that cycle. And yet so many continued to do it. David had a front row seat. He saw what happened to Saul. He saw the insanity. He saw the mood swings and the depression. And all that was because of one thing, because Saul didn't stay in his lane. Saul tried to step above the prophet. He tried to go above God. He said, well, God, I know you said don't take any of these animals, but come on, there's nothing wrong with them. I mean, this could feed the whole army. Man, we could eat all this food, and we could make a sacrifice, and we'll just take them with us. That's what we do, right? We talk God into it, except God's not, he's not compromising. He's not changing. God said, do not take them, and Saul took them. And then when Samuel arrives, he says, why do I hear sheep? He said, oh, you know those people took them. Wasn't me. Always that deflection. It was somebody else that did this. And besides that, we've been waiting for you. And, you know, I wouldn't have started the fire and started the sacrifice, but we waited for you and you wouldn't come. And man, if I hadn't done something, I wouldn't be able to keep these people back. Man, they were getting restless. It's, you know, always them, always pointing the finger somewhere else instead of saying, I messed up. But David has, he had a front row seat to that whole fallout after Saul disobeyed God. You know, David was the one they brought to play the music because Saul was going through the depression and the insanity. Who am I? That's where that song comes from. But you know, Lord, you know thy servant. Verse 21, for thy word's sake, according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. There is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And that with, and what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, to make him a name and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. Thou hast confirmed to thyself the people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. Now remember, you know, with God taking on human flesh, he had to be born somewhere, right? And so he had to choose some people, and he chose Israel. He chose Abraham. But just, you know, remember that it was not, even though we talk about, and here David talks about the favor of God on Israel and the Jews, it could have been any people, but it was not exclusive to the Jews. There were people who left Egypt who were not Jewish that went with them. And then we get, you know, talking about Ruth and Rahab. Remember, they were not Jews, but they came into the family. So salvation was not exclusive for the Jews, even though that is the line, the family, the people that God chose to bring Jesus through. Jesus had to be born in some group somewhere, and the Jews were the people because of Abraham. Verse 25, now, O Lord God, the word thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. So he surrendered to God. It's easy to surrender to God's will when it's good, isn't it? It's easy to say, oh, you're going to make, you know, make me a house and bless the people and bless my children. Okay, sign me up. Right, that was easy. It wasn't a hard decision. But why did God say that? Well, number one, God chose David early, right? He was out watching sheep, and God sent the prophet, said, go find him. Go find the next king. And remember when Samuel got there, what did he say? He saw that oldest son. He said, I found the next king. Here he is. Look, he's good looking, tall, strong. He says, you got to be the one. And God spoke to his heart. He said, that's not it. And he said, well, where's the other? And he went down the line. And everyone he came to, he thought, well, this is a good option. This is a good choice. It's got to be the one. God said, not that one. And then, you know, finally David is brought, and God says, that's the one. Forgive David? Forgive David. Sure, yes. For what? For all of his wrongdoings? Yes. Remember, and this is the balance. This is what we have to remember. He forgave David. He had God extended mercy to David. But David paid for his sins here. Here, yes. So, you know, David, the biggest one we could, were two big ones, right? What are the two big ones? What were the two sins, the two big sins? Bathsheba and? Okay, and the death, so that's one event, Bathsheba and Uriah, yes. Covering his sin. And what's the other one? Numbering the people. Right? He said, go out and count the people. Joab says, well, and what does it matter how many people we got? He said, number the people. And God was offended by that. And God said, because you numbered the people, there's going to be consequences. Anyway, those are the two big ones. So what did he do? Well, number one, he lost that son from Bathsheba. That's the first thing. That was one. But then, not just that, but look at the trouble he had with his sons. I mean, his own son took his wives and kicked them out of the castle, right? Ran them out of town. So David, our hope in God, our salvation through Jesus, washes our sins away so that when we stand in judgment, we have no sin. That's salvation. But, you know, going back to the pendulum, when we do here, we're going to pay for here. If I took a knife and cut my finger, that would be dumb, and it would bleed. And I could forgive myself and ask God's forgiveness, but it would still bleed. And it would take time to heal, and it may leave a forever scar. All right? But those are that's consequences for my actions. We reap what we sow. That's Bible. All right? That's not karma. It's Bible. You reap what you sow. So David was forgiven and used. You know, not only was he forgiven, but he was blessed. But his sin gave him trouble all the days of his life. Right? When David was dying, he was sick and he was weak and he wouldn't get out of bed. Y'all remember what they did? They took a young, you know, best looking girl they could find. And they said, why don't you go in there and rub his feet? That'll encourage him. And she came in there and he knew what they were doing. He says, guys, I get it. Like y'all have seen me do some things. But this, y'all let her go home. This is not what I need right now. But that's what he was known for. He was known for being a womanizer, as we say these days. He was known for chasing women. And so they brought that young, that told him what his reputation was, didn't it? I think about people. I think of Becky Spencer's dad, Billy, when he passed away. You know, had a stroke, and then when he passed away, what did they have? Had the whole family in there singing gospel songs around him. That was his reputation. You know, so our reputation, you know, is not determined by what we think of ourselves. Our reputation is what other people think of ourselves, of us. So when David, you know, at the end of his life, they brought him a woman. That tells you what they thought. But God did forgive him. He did pay for his, you know, the consequences of his sins here. But he didn't go to hell. And the same thing for us. If we want to continue to sin, we'll continue to reap the whirlwind, as the Bible says. We'll continue to have trouble. We'll continue to have consequences. If we want to have less trouble, we got to sin less. We got to change our minds and change our actions. Unfortunately, you know, we can set a certain course that's hard to get out of. And I've seen people, you know, the earlier in our lives that we make those mistakes, the longer the consequences are, you know. Mm-hmm. Right. Psalm 51. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, and so as he's praying that, obviously he has lost that joy. And that's the trouble with sin. Sin gets us in a place where we're uncomfortable and where we're outside of God's fellowship and communion. Have you ever known somebody that, I probably said this last week or two, somebody wouldn't look you in the eye because they did you wrong? That's what happens when we sin. It's not that God's not looking at us. It's that we're not looking at him. It's that, you know, we're the one running two or three shopping aisles down because we don't want to run into that person, right? Because we did them wrong. And I was trying to, somebody was telling me a story the other day about somebody that had cheated them in a construction project or a house or something. And they were out at a restaurant and saw that contractor who had cheated them out. And I'm not talking about, you know, $500. I'm talking about thousands and tens of thousands of dollars, right? And he saw that contractor at a restaurant. And he said as soon as that guy saw him, his face went white. Why? Because he knew he'd done wrong. And, you know, that's how we are with God. When we know that we have not been doing what we should be doing, and God is mentioned, or, you know, we think about God, we all of a sudden get very defensive because we know we've done wrong. So we do pay for our sins here, but we just don't pay for them for eternity. But there are consequences to sin. Verse 26, let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. Let the house of thy servant David be established forever. Verse 27, thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed unto thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Isn't that incredible? When God is blessing us, God is going to bless us. You cannot outgive God. And then chapter 8, we see that David smote the Philistines, and talks about that stuff here. He takes the gold and the silver and dedicates it to God. Verse 11, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and the gold. So as he went out on these conquests, on these battles, what he got, he did not say, hey, this is for me. He said, this is for God. And in all of his life, he wanted to honor God. He was, what's his nickname? What do we know him as? A man after God's own heart. He wanted to please God with his life. Comments, questions, criticisms, points of concern? Anything we missed that you want to talk about? Let's take a break.